Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There is nothing quite like the joy that comes from the birth of a new baby. Some know that really well right now. There's a great joy for all those around. Even if the new baby is not yours, you can't wait to see the pictures of it. I mean, if you know somebody who has a new baby, you're almost as excited as they are. You're like, hey, I want to see pictures. Some of you have experienced this joy recently with new additions to the family. Now, as we think about these wonderful bundles of joy, let's think about how much they did to be born. They didn't do much in the process, did they? God, of course, is in total control. And then mom, she does all the pushing while feeling all the pain. And the doctor's there if mom needs help. On the other hand, when a baby is born, all it has to do is breathe. Then we get to hold it, cuddle it, and begin the process of spoiling it. Today, as we continue to examine the kingdom of God, we will answer the most important question of all. How do I get into the kingdom of God? The answer is simple. You must be born again. You must be born again. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful passage that you give to us in the Gospel of John, recording the events between Nicodemus and Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today as we continue to look at the topic of the kingdom of God. We have looked at it for 2 weeks. We've got this week, and then we've got one more next week, trying to understand what the kingdom of God is and how it impacts and affects our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you be with us today as we look at the most important characteristic, and that is, how do we get in? How do we become a part of the kingdom of God? And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move across this place in a mighty way. I pray that you would strengthen us. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would leave here today encouraged and changed by the message of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we begin the text, we see Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, who goes and talks to Jesus. And so this shows us that Nicodemus wants to know a little bit more about who this Jesus guy is and what's going on. And as he comes with respect. At some point in time, Nicodemus has heard about Jesus, seen some of his miracles. And so he comes and he talks with Jesus and he wants to know more about what he has seen and what he has heard. So who was Nicodemus? First of all, Nicodemus was a scholar and a well-respected Jewish leader. We know that he was a scholar because it tells us that he was a Pharisee. The Pharisee was a strict conservative faction of the Jewish people. They were well known for knowing the Old Testament very well. So he would have been a scholar. We also find out that he is a part of the Sanhedrin, which is the religious ruling body of the Jews. Even though Rome is in power, the Jews still have a ruling body that can judge over certain issues, such as religious issues. And so, as we're introduced to Nicodemus, he is both a scholar and a leader. And so, he would have been looked up to. He would have been respected. At the end of chapter 2, we see that many believed in Jesus when they saw the signs that he was doing. Now, it is a possibility that Nicodemus saw these signs. If not, he heard about them. Because how do we know? Because it says, Nicodemus himself says, no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. And so Nicodemus notices there's something special about Jesus. Nicodemus notices there's something different about Jesus. And so he comes to him, he says, all right. Clearly, you must be from God, because if you were not, you could not do these things. And when he comes, he calls him Rabbi. This is a word that means teacher, and it was a very respectful way to address Jesus, especially coming from a Pharisee scholar addressing Jesus who has no formal rabbinic training. And to come to him and call him a rabbi is a great sign of respect. When he arrives at Jesus' place, he addresses him with this great respect. Rabbi, great teacher. Nicodemus recognized him as a teacher. And here's what's interesting. Jesus had no formal training, but what he had was better. He had the Holy Spirit of God. Training can be a good thing. Training can help. But hear this. No form of education is better than the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
You can have degree after degree after your name. But without the Holy Spirit leading you, without the Holy Spirit guiding you, without the Holy Spirit speaking to you, all that training is pretty much useless. Don't tell my professors I said that. But they would probably agree. And as we think about this, even though Jesus didn't have formal training, he had the Holy Spirit of Holy God. God is with Jesus at all times because Jesus is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are in perfect unison. And so Nicodemus comes and he says, teacher, you got to be from God because of what you do. Well, we also notice that Nicodemus comes at night. And this could be for different reasons. Nicodemus may have come at night because it's a little bit cooler outside. You know, sometimes it could get hot during the day. So maybe it was that. Another possibility is that during the day, there was people constantly around Jesus. And so he goes to him at night so he can have more of a one-on-one conversation. Then there's another possibility. He could have went at night because he didn't want anybody to see him. He was a part of the Pharisees, and he didn't want the other Pharisees knowing that he was going to talk to this Jesus guy that was teaching against some of the things that they believed. But whatever the reason why he went at night, we need to understand the heart of Nicodemus. He wanted to learn more. He wanted to learn more from Jesus. But what's interesting is Nicodemus was not ready for the answer that Jesus was about to give him. I mean, I can't even imagine, because he comes and he gives this beautiful introduction. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God. No one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus just looks at him and says, you need to be born again. What? Can you imagine what's going through Nicodemus' mind right now? Jesus does not acknowledge Nicodemus' comments about him being a good teacher. He doesn't acknowledge the comments about him being from God. He simply says, If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And now, again, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at this topic of the kingdom of God. We have seen that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that is realized now in Christ Jesus. We have realized that the kingdom of God is God's rule over every area of our lives in the here and the now. We have learned that there are people that are either inside the kingdom or outside the kingdom. And so now we see that the only way to get into the kingdom is to be born again. This is the answer to our question. How do I get into the kingdom of God? I must be born again. To get in the kingdom, we must be born again. Now, what's fascinating is the word that is used here, again, born again, can also mean from above. And the majority of the times it's translated in the New Testament, that's how it's translated. And so it could be saying born from above. And so as we think about that, to be born again means to be born from above. This would tell Nicodemus that his position as a religious leader, his position as a Pharisee, his position as a scholar would not get him into the kingdom of God. Often we try to justify ourselves by our deeds and think we're good enough to get into God's kingdom. Sometimes we think being a good church member will get us into heaven. Sometimes we think that being a good person, having the right credentials, having the right titles behind our name, that those will get us into heaven. But none of that works. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, being a scholar ain't gonna get it. Cut it. He's saying being a Pharisee isn't going to get it. Even though God has called me to be a pastor, even though by God's grace I have successfully completed a doctoral program, none of that's going to get me into heaven. The only thing that gets me into heaven is the fact that I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That He is my Lord and Savior. And often we try to justify ourselves. Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't matter. Well, at least I'm not as bad as. Well, we ain't even going there. Because the Bible is very clear. It's not our position. It's not our prestige. It's not our power. It's not our finances. The only thing that gets us into heaven is, do we know Jesus? Like Nicodemus, if we want to be a part of the kingdom of God, we must be born again. Now, Jesus takes this even further. Listen to what he says in verse 5. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so we see that he cannot. And then in verse 3, he says, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So if we are not born again, we can't even see the kingdom. Remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about those outside, and we talked about those who know Jesus understand the kingdom, while those outside don't understand. Jesus says, unless we are born by the Spirit, we cannot see the kingdom. The first thing that Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. What does that even mean? Nicodemus clearly didn't understand what Jesus meant. He's like, huh? I'm pretty old. How do I go back in mom's womb and come out again? And so he asked Jesus, how can I be born again? I'm an old man. And so Jesus helps Nicodemus understand that he's not talking about physical birth, but spiritual birth. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born from above. Let's think about physical birth again for a moment. As we stated in the introduction, birth is a passive act for the child. Mommy does all the work. All the kid does is breathe. This is the way spiritual birth works. God does all the work. All we have to do is believe. It is, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Our salvation is not based on our works. It's based on the works of Jesus on the cross. By saying you must be born again, Jesus tells Nicodemus that there is absolutely nothing he can do to earn salvation. Salvation is a divine act of God and not of man. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Man cannot get in on his own. He cannot own, he cannot earn it, he cannot buy it, or he cannot inherit it. The only way to get salvation is to be born again. And that is to be born of the water and the Spirit. Water is most likely a reference to Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36, God speaking through the prophet says this: I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. And now, as we look at that passage in Ezekiel, once again, we see that it's God doing everything. God has given them, sprinkling them, making them clean. God has given them a new heart. God has given them the Spirit. This talks about God bringing spiritual cleansing among the people. It shows that God will cleanse them, give them a new heart, and give them his Spirit. And Nicodemus, being a scholar, would have known this passage. He would have known this Ezekiel passage very well. He would have known that God cleans us up. God gives us the new heart. So to be born again is to ask Jesus to come into our hearts as Lord and Savior. Because when we're born again, when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, God cleanses our hearts. He cleans our hearts. He gives us a new heart. And then the Holy Spirit comes and lives in that heart. We simply believe Jesus is our Savior. God's done all the work. All we have to do, I don't know about you guys, but I am so grateful and thankful that I don't have to earn my salvation. I am so grateful that I don't have to work for it. Because if I had to work for it, how good do I have to be? I mean, there were some classes that I took in college where I was like, okay, what do I need to do to just pass? You know, I'm not really concerned about math. I'm going to be a preacher. So what do I have to do just to pass this class? And sometimes, you know, if we could earn salvation, isn't that how we would be? Yeah, how do I just get in? But it doesn't work like that, thank goodness. We have to believe in Jesus. John 3:16, one of the most well-known passages, for God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only unique son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In other words, who the Son sets free is free indeed. 1 John 4:13, this is how we know that we remain in him and he is in us. He has given us his Spirit. We are born again when we give our lives to Jesus. We know we are born again because the Spirit of God lives in us and tells us. When we are born again, we become a part of God's kingdom, affecting every area of our lives. And here's the beautiful thing that we need to understand. When we become a part of the kingdom, our life changes. We cannot stay the same we once were. We have incredible effects, as we see in these last couple verses in verse 6 through 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so Jesus talks about how being born of the flesh is flesh and being born of the spirit is spirit. This is something that Paul goes into detail about in Romans 7 and 8. At the end of chapter 7, Paul talks about how he does the things that he doesn't want to do and doesn't do the things that he wants to because of this battle between the flesh and the spirit. And so this shows us that even the great apostle Paul struggled with the battle between flesh and spirit. So that gives us hope. But this is what he says at the end of chapter 7. He says, "What a wretched man I am." This is Paul, the church planter, the apostle. "What a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so Paul is like, I have this constant battle between the flesh and the spirit to do what's wrong and not what's right. And what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I do. Who in the world is going to save me? Jesus. Jesus. And that's why as we enter into chapter 8 of Romans, he's able to say this: "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Because of Jesus, because of who he is, because of what he did on the cross, when we accept him as Savior, there is no condemnation. The Spirit of God overpowers the will of the flesh when we choose to surrender to the Spirit. Because we need to remember that God is not going to make us do anything we don't want to do. The Spirit is always more powerful than the flesh. But when we give in to the flesh, it's not because the Spirit was weak. It's because we are. It's because we are given into the flesh. Every day, you and I fight the battle between the flesh and the spirit. There are days when you and I let the flesh win. Let's be honest with ourselves. We ain't always saints. We don't always do the right thing. There are times in our lives when the flesh wins. But there's also times in our lives where the spirit wins. There are days when we don't give in to sin, when we don't give in to temptation, when we are the men and women that God has called us to be. But here's the beautiful truth of Scripture. Even on those days when the flesh wins, we can still find forgiveness in Jesus for our sin. The Spirit convicts us that what we've done is wrong. We confess our sins and Jesus forgives us. How is that possible? Because once we're in the kingdom, there is no condemnation for those in Jesus. There's consequences for our sin. We still pay the penalty for our sin. We still suffer and struggle because of our sin. But we can never be sent to hell because of our sin when we give our life to Jesus. And so as we think about this, once we're in the kingdom, once we're born again, once we say yes to Jesus, there is no condemnation. We cannot be condemned to hell because we have a new heart with Jesus taken over. And instead of giving into the flesh, we are to live by the Spirit. But then you've got some people that's like, how can I put my trust in something I cannot see? I can't see the Spirit of God, so how can I put my trust in it? Well, can you see the wind? Nope. Can you see the effects of the wind? Yeah. Can you feel the effects of the wind? Yes. Even though we cannot see the wind, we can still see and feel the effects of it. We see the effects of hurricanes and tornadoes. We know what windstorms can do and how they can destroy power lines and trees. We also can feel a cool breeze on the wind on a warm summer day. And when that cool breeze comes through, we can't see it, but it sure feels good. Even though we cannot see the wind, we know it's there. The same is true about the Spirit. And this is where things get really awesome in Scripture. We might not see this looking at our text today, because often we forget that the New Testament was originally written in Greek. Not King James English, just so everybody knows. It was originally written in Greek. And here's what's awesome. In this verse, it says, the wind blows where it wishes. So I'm going to change just two words to the Greek word and see if you catch it. The pneuma blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the pneuma. The Greek word for wind is the Greek word for spirit. It's the same word. And so Jesus is using a play on the words. Just like we can't see the wind, we can't see the spirit. But just like we can feel the wind and see the effects, we can feel the spirit and the effects of it. We may not be able to see the Spirit of God, but you best believe we can feel the effects. You and I, as children of God, we should feel the power of the Holy Spirit, of Holy God blowing in our lives. And if we are not feeling the Spirit, if we are not hearing from the Spirit, then we've got something blocking us between us and God. Because as believers, we should feel the Spirit. We should be able to say, the Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is in me to lead me and to guide me. The Spirit of God is there to help us be the men and women that God has called us to be. But in order to get the Spirit, we must be born again. If you and I want to be in God's kingdom, we are to be born from above, asking Jesus into our hearts, and then having the Spirit move in. Have you given your life to Jesus and entered into the kingdom of God? You might be here today and you've never made that decision to give your heart and your life to Christ. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross. We've seen that clearly today. The only way to heaven, the only way to be born again, is to be born again, and that is to accept Jesus. You can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't work for it. It's all about Jesus. And so that's my first question. My second question is, are you living by the flesh or by the Spirit? Those of us that have given our hearts and our lives to Jesus, those of us that are Christians, are we living by the flesh or the Spirit? Are we letting the flesh dictate what we do and what we say, or are we letting the Spirit dictate what we do and what we say? May we be a Spirit-driven people seeking the will of our Lord at all times. If we want to see real change take place in our world, then it takes the people of God who are part of the kingdom of God living out that kingdom in our lives each and every day through the power of the Holy Spirit moving in us. The first step is we accept Jesus. The second step is we live for Him. And we need both of those. So may we be Spirit-driven people. Lord, we do thank you for this text. We thank you for the beauty that we see here in the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. We thank you for the hand that God has given us. We thank you for your incredible love and your grace. We ask that you would move as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, as we have our song of invitation, if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to give your life to Christ, I want to invite that you come and do so today. Maybe you're here today and you've been living by the Spirit and you just want to come and say, you know what? I just want to ask God to move in the Spirit in my life. Whatever it is, will you come this morning as we stand and sing?